swing speed, and trades. That is pretty much the sum of what the hell we've missed. Welcome to the Leftovers Podcast, Derek Kramer.
Frank R. Curry.
And, we did not do a show Thursday because, well, I was pretty much out of commission for an entire week, and Frank also was not feeling well in addition to it, so that just made matters so much better or worse. I don't know what to say on that. Like, it just, you know, it happens. Things happen. Tis the season. Don't get sick. It always sucks. It's never great, and I still sound a little bit like it.
I'm a little there, too, still. I was at my worst on Thursday.
And then if you wore a cape over the last 24 hours, you probably died because of the wind. But guess what?
Just like my apartment.
The wind, however, brought us something beautiful. The winds of trade, Frank. As the Sabres were even afflicted with the NHL trade deadline in getting themselves an interesting piece that we got to talk about. But trade deadline comes, goes. Actually, not bad still, this year.
Still trickling in.
Still trickling in, but
seems like.
For the most part, it looks like most of the things are done.
The big things
are done.
If that's what it seems like, yeah.
Unless there's something just coming completely out of left field.
Which does happen.
Again, but my main thing, though. Pretty good trade deadline. Better than years past.
Yeah.
Seeing as how there were a lot of deals leading up to it, still.
There was a lot of rumors, and then a lot of those rumors ended up becoming
something.
True. Yeah.
Like, there was a lot of substance to the smoke this year. And, again, usually what happens in years past is that all the major deals happen before the deadline, and then there's nothing left for.
Or you get, like, one or two good ones on the day itself.
Yeah, and there's really nothing left.
Nothing at all, because it doesn't get done in time.
And then the poor folks at, like, TSN and Sportsnet are just sitting there the whole time.
Sitting there twiddling their thumbs, like, what do we do?
Okay, a fourth liner
was
traded.
Okay, how about this? Cool, let's talk about that for 2 hours and then do a silly gag.
Exactly.
And then have awkward interviews, too.
Yeah, there's just not enough there. This year,
a lot of substance.
There was a bit more. There's a lot more log jammed, though.
Yeah.
That's for dang sure.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
but there was a lot. There was that still period today where there was some time between one and another where there was a dead area, kind of like in the late morning, early afternoon. And then it was, as we got closer to three, where it really started to kick, really started to heat up and keep going, and really actually save the day, essentially.
That's true. Because there was one last piece that I knew was going to get moved, and that was Mark Stone. And Mark Stone might have an interesting little impact in Buffalo with his little extension.
All right,
reported.
Do you want to talk about the Sabres trades first?
Let's talk.
Or do you want to?
Let's talk about a little more of the broad scale of things.
So do you want to go over the most of the big trades
that happened? Let's go over the biggest ones.
All right. So I'm going based on the last week.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one that we can talk about is Boston getting Charlie Coyle.
Yeah, this is back on Wednesday.
Yes. For Ryan Donato and a 2019 conditional fifth. And that fifth becomes a fourth if Boston wins a playoff round.
Now, Coyle was a name linked by a lot of Sabres fans.
Yes.
A very popular player that people would have liked to see come to Buffalo. A guy that, quite frankly, I don't know if he was worth the price that even Boston paid there.
Well, Ryan Donato struggled early on, has been struggling this year in Boston, and I'm going to double-check his numbers in the AHL. I mean, he had an awesome year last season.
That's what I'm saying.
Last season, he had 43 points in 29 games playing at Harvard, played for U.S. in the Olympics, had 6 points in 5 games, had 5 goals, and then goes to the Bruins, and he has 9 points in 12 games.
Yeah,
awesome year last year. This year, 34 games with Boston, 9 points. Goes down to Providence, 12 points in 8 teams. Okay, he's building himself back up. He's just showing that he wasn't truly ready for the NHL game and for the NHL. And last year in Boston, he was playing so well because he was just overall had an amazing year.
But again,
but he goes to Minnesota and now he's got 4 points in three games.
For a guy that has played seven seasons, though, to have only eclipsed 40 points twice in Charlie Coyle.
In Charlie Coyle, yeah.
I feel like it's a bit of a package. And the Sabres would have had to give up a higher pick because they don't have a Ryan Donato that they are willing to trade.
The closest, I think, would have been Alex Nylander.
And I'm not doing that.
I wouldn't as well.
So, yeah, it's one of those things where
it's
funny,
too, because we kind of all thought that Coyle would fetch more because of the contract he's on, too. A lot of people think so.
Well, I feel like it's a pretty good fetch. That's the thing. I think that...
No, I'm surprised. I think a lot of people are surprised that that was what Minnesota got. Like, Ryan Donato, okay, you got a pretty good prospect out of that, but you couldn't get anything more higher than potentially a fourth. That's what I think.
Honestly, I'm
surprised.
Okay,
that's what I'm a little surprised with, but whatever.
I think that was actually pretty good. It was a pretty good get for Charlie Coyle because Charlie Coyle really hasn't always done a lot.
He's not great. A huge point getter.
No, he's not a point getter. He's not a producer.
I mean, right now he's Boston's third line center.
Yeah, and he was Minnesota's third line center. I mean, yeah. You traded a higher end prospect for a third line center.
Yeah,
let's be real about that. That's what you did, and. So I'm okay with Buffalo not being in on that.
Yeah, yeah. I never really wanted Charlie Coyle to begin with. I just never
Charlie
really,
Coyle was.
I never thought he would fit. That was my biggest thing. All right, let's
whoa,
go.
Whoa, we got a fresh one here.
We got another one?
Not a trade, but we have a fresh thing. Tage Thompson has been added to Rochester via the AHL transactions page. Allow him to be eligible for the Amerks in the playoffs.
Yes. Okay. So
I like that. Gives him a chance to continue to work on his game.
So that means if the Sabres do miss the playoffs, they can send Tage to Rochester and he'd be eligible to play.
Even if they make the playoffs and get swept by the Lightning, for example.
Or whatever. If the Sabres season is over and Rochester's still playing.
They can move him in there.
Yep. Okay. You know what? Very smart. That's a very smart move.
Yep.
I like it. Okay. Next trade to talk about. Washington gets Carl Hagelund. For a 2019 third and a 2026. And that six will transfer. Let's see. Here's what it says. Washington shall transfer itself its 2026 round pick if Washington wins two or more playoff rounds this year and Hagelund plays 50% or more of the combined total number of games played in any two of the playoff rounds. So basically, if that happens, Washington also gives a six. If not, it's just the third.
Basically, Washington wins two rounds and Hagelund plays at least half of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's Hagelund, a third-round pick, essentially.
Hagelund has been traded
speed
already this
fourth,
year.
Yep.
Speed
he brings
to the
speed
line.
To the fourth line. We saw him. Or we've seen him play already.
He's already the devil.
And, I mean...
He's the one who tripped Jeff Skinner and twisted up his ankle, knee, and whatever.
I mean, yeah, but he didn't do it on purpose.
I know he didn't do it on purpose. That does not mean that he is not forgiven.
Okay, fine.
All right, we're done there. Yeah. All right, moving on.
The big one. One of the big ones.
One of the big ones.
Columbus getting Matt Duchene.
Hang on. I would say we pair all of the Ottawa stuff together because they had a hell of a haul.
All right, we'll do that.
So Nick Jensen
for Madison Bowie in a second.
Not a bad get.
Not a bad gift for Detroit.
They need it.
They needed to do something.
They
Nick
need
Jensen
something,
argued.
Anything.
Nick Jensen analytically is having a fantastic year. He's getting rewarded for it because he signed an extension in Washington already.
Yeah, exactly.
At 4 years at 2.5.
That's actually a really team friendly contract. Like Washington knew they wanted to.
But you gotta hope that he keep for Washington, now you hope he keeps that play up.
Yes, but
so,
it's still a team friendly contract.
Detroit,
if he doesn't, it's 2.5.
I think only the term. The only thing that scares you with that is the term. Money wise, it's beautiful.
But that's
love
the thing. You could still get away with 4 years down the road if he's playing terrible.
Yeah, it's not.
It's still
it's
2.5.
Not really biting. It's not really biting you.
Yeah, it's
for
only
Detroit.
2.5.
You get that second. You get a second round pick. It's for next year, but you get a second round pick. Madison Bowie's still an interesting prospect, in my opinion. I think he's just a guy who needed a change of scenery. Because he just seemed to have not been, it's not been developing that well in Washington.
Yep.
Then we got Ben Lovejoy going to Dallas from New Jersey.
Yeah, what's up with that? A 2019 third?
And Connor Carrick.
Like, is Ben Lovejoy really that important?
He's fine. He's a bottom-pairing guy.
I might also be overvaluing a third-round pick, but maybe. We just saw Beaulieu go for a sixth.
Yeah.
That makes me a little disappointed now. Oh, well. Moving on. Matt Zuccarello.
Yep. Going for a second and a third.
To
now,
Dallas.
The interesting thing about that...
Was that he got hurt right away?
No. Both of those picks
That's
can
not
become...
the most interesting thing?
I mean, that just stinks. You just feel really bad.
Exactly.
No. The more interesting thing is both of those picks... could become first rounders.
Yes, because the second rounder in 2019 is in 2019, and the conditional 2020 third round pick
would be a 2020 first.
If
Zuccarello re-signs with Dallas.
That's it?
Yep. The second round pick becomes a first in 2019. Basically the same thing as Haglund. If Dallas goes to the West Final and Zuccarello plays in half of the games.
Okay. So there's one that could be pretty easy. The other is Dallas has to make a run in the West.
Yes. But what stinks is now that Zuccarello is injured right away.
Yeah, that one hurts, literally.
It really does. Yeah. Next one, San Jose getting Gustav Nyquist from Detroit for a second in 2019 and a 2023rd. The 2023rd becomes a second if the Sharks advance to the Stanley Cup Final or Nyquist resigns with San Jose.
That's actually pretty
not
nice.
A bad get. Not a bad get for a top six forward who looks like he needed a change of scenery. He's really and Nyquist can still play.
Yeah, he's actually still pretty good. I would have.
Yeah.
If the Sabres were going to end up in the rental market, like if they didn't collapse at the midpoint of the season. I would have liked Nyquist. So that's actually a very nice trade there. And then, of course, now I think we can get to talking about
a lot of the bigger ones of today.
The Ottawa Senators.
Okay, let's talk about Ottawa.
We go back to Duchesne.
Duchesne trade. Duchesne goes to Columbus along with Julius Bergman for Vitaly
Abramov.
Abramov, yes. Jonathan Davidson, Marcus Davidson's brother.
Mm-hmm.
A 2019 first and a 2020 first, both conditionals. Potentially two first-round picks Ottawa could get from Matt Duchesne.
That's pretty big. The conditions now, obviously being one of them being that he has to resign.
One is he has to resign, yes. The other is if Columbus does miss the playoffs and the pick is in the top and the pick becomes a lottery top three.
Yeah,
Columbus
right.
can keep it.
Columbus has lottery protection on their pick, something that Ottawa probably could have blown their minds now. Could you imagine having to agree
so the
to
thing
that
the thing too is
after not
if the
protect-
Columbus 2019 first becomes in the top three, Ottawa automatically gets the 2020 first regardless if Duchesne re-signs or not.
Mm-hmm.
If Duchesne does re-sign, Ottawa gets Columbus's 2021 first.
And that's
so
pretty-
That's
pretty wacky.
That's pretty wacky, yes.
And then Columbus goes ahead and the next day goes back to the Ottawa well for Ryan Dzingel, trading a 2022nd and a 2021 second.
And Anthony Duclair, which is just a throw-in, pretty much contract.
Roster player kind of thing.
Yeah.
Contract for contract. And
so Dzingel gets 2 seconds. It's similar with Nyquist.
And there's no conditions. That's straight up.
No, those are straight up, yeah. Those are straight up. And then Columbus also trades to New Jersey. Gets Keith Kincaid for a 2022 fifth. Funny little thing on that. Whatever that 2022 fifth round pick ends up becoming, whoever gets drafted with that pick, that player right now is 15 years old. That's 3 years from now. So whoever is picked with that draft pick. Doesn't even have to be my New Jersey. That specific selection, that kid who will be drafted with that selection into the NHL in 2022 is currently 15 years old. That's funny.
I feel like there's some players that aren't 18 that get drafted. Like, you know, like a guy goes 1 year through college, goes back into the draft.
Yeah, but the draft class of that year right now is 15.
Yes.
That's what it is.
That's pretty weird.
It's pretty funny. All right, next one for Columbus, at least. You get Adam McQuaid. They trade Bergman. And then a 2019 fourth and 2019 seventh. Sure.
Columbus.
You get a depth guy. You get a depth defenseman.
What is up with Columbus?
They're going for it.
And then, of course,
that's literally what it is.
The last thing with Ottawa.
Mark Stone.
Mark Stone.
Going to Vegas.
The Vegas Golden Knights are unreal.
Oscar Lindberg, a 2020 second. And then the big piece is Eric Brännström.
The major big-time defensive prospect.
Yes.
That Vegas doesn't need to rush because they're a Stanley Cup contender.
Yes, apparently.
And, yep. Again, and apparently one of the best defensive prospects just not playing in the NHL.
Probably is the best defensive prospect not playing in the NHL. Well, that'll change soon. He's in the AHL right now.
Right.
He's going to play in Ottawa.
Oh, yeah, of course.
He's going to play.
Of course.
So, him and Shabbat, right there, that's pretty good building pieces for Ottawa.
Yeah. I again, it's one of those things, though, like, the Senators could potentially get a hell of a haul for, you know, Dzingel, Duchesne, and Stone.
And they did.
And what in the hell are they going to roster in front of these fans for the last 20 games?
Eric Brännström.
I've got your answer. A team worse than the Tank.
Yeah.
And they don't get that pick. Could you imagine what Colorado's looking
now
like right
now? That does stink. That does still stink, yes. But now think about this, though.
But if you're Colorado, are you just doing
you're doing backflips.
You're doing like a no pants dance back or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No.
Man.
Oh, yeah. Because they're going to have the highest odds of getting.
They're going to have
the highest odds of getting Jack Hughes. Yes. But now think about this for Ottawa, though. Look at the draft picks they have gotten. The only thing that stinks is they may not have a first round pick this year. They likely will with Columbus. So they potentially got two first round picks from Columbus, but so you're probably guaranteeing one of them. Because Columbus, are they going to miss the playoffs now? We'll see. But that's four first-round picks in the next 3 years for them.
Right.
Two second-round picks this year. Three next year. And two in 2021.
Right.
Four extra seconds. And then they have Pittsburgh's third this year. And now they have Columbus's third next year. That's a lot of draft picks.
That's a lot of draft picks you got to hit on.
Yeah. And now you look at the prospects they have as well. Brady Tkachuk, no longer a prospect, but he's a young player. You hope Colin White still develops into something. You've got Thomas Chabot. Now you have Eric Brännström. Filip Gustavsson is their best goaltending prospect right now. You still hope Logan Brown develops into something. Now you add Abramoff and Jonathan Davidson. So now, yeah, it's now you got to start hitting on some of your higher picks.
I mean,
we'll see what happens. But Ottawa right now, I think they're feeling pretty good.
Yeah, you got to be feeling at least good about getting some of these returns. All right, so now we got to talk about the elephant in the room. A pair of Sabres deals, one that was very much expected.
I mean, there's some other trades we can talk about,
too. Nathan Beaulieu.
Yeah, but we can talk about those. I'd say there's still some other trades we can talk about, too.
Yeah, that's right. Kevin Hayes got a...
For Brendan Lemieux,
first
former order. Sabre prospect. 2019 first. Looks like it's only lottery protected. Which, it's a first round. Okay, so a first
round
pick.
It's the Jets.
It's the Jets.
We're not worrying about that.
Yeah, and a conditional 2022 fourth. Once again, another player who is 15 years old right now.
Two of those going around.
Yeah. The pick only goes to the Rangers if Winnipeg wins the Cup this year.
Mm-hmm. Derek Brassard traded again.
Yep, to Colorado.
23rd. And, yep. I mean, other than that, oh, Granlund for Fiala, one for one from Nashville.
That is interesting. That's interesting. Because Kevin Fiala is a really good young player who I wanted to see the Sabres get at some point, if they could have.
Granlund's having a heck of a season, though, for Minnesota.
He's on pace to be have on it for his third straight 60-point year.
Exactly. So
Nashville got a really good player there.
Nashville got a good player there, and Fiala was kind of...
Fiala still kind of needs to develop, but he's going to now a GM who was instrumental in Nashville drafting him. Because Paul Fenton was the assistant at the time when Fiala was drafted by Nashville.
Yeah, and not to mention, I mean, the Preds are kind of trading out of a position of strength. I mean, you've seen Arvidsson pass Fiala. You've seen them acquire Forsberg.
Yes, you're right.
And that was going to happen. Like, he was going to surpass Fiala once he came into the building.
They added Johansson.
Like,
they added Kyle Turris, Nick Bonino.
Yeah, but when you have a guy in a similar development curve in Arvidsson already letting up several 25-plus goal seasons, it's kind of easy to go ahead and be able to deal in a position like that.
Nashville also gets Wayne Simmonds from Philly for Ryan Hartman and a 2024.
Ryan Hartman, that he who was acquired with a first-round pick.
Last year. Now he gets Wayne Simmonds. And that fourth-round pick upgrades to a third if Nashville wins a playoff round this year.
Plausible.
Yeah, very likely.
Eh.
Likely.
Red Hot St. Louis, if they don't win first in the division, is it as foregone conclusion at that point?
I wouldn't say so. I'd still say Nashville's the favorite.
And then there was the biggest trade of today.
Marcus Johansson.
No. I was being facetious about this part.
Erica Branson.
No.
That's not the biggest trade?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes, because a player named Future Considerations was dealt to the Carolina Hurricanes for Cliff Poo.
Oh, him, yeah.
Won the trade.
Yep.
My God. Cliff Poo.
Wait, but Future Considerations was also traded to Columbus.
And Future Considerations was also traded to Florida for Thomas Yurko. Joking aside, Cliff Poo gets traded for the second time in a season, which is a little weird for a prospect.
Yeah.
A mid-tier prospect, more so. And
just shows where he is.
He played zero NHL games before he got moved on to another team for Future Considerations. I mean, that one's got to hurt. As a Carolina Hurricanes fan, that's probably going to hurt to look at that and go, come on, what the hell? So, all right, we now rewind to the Sabres yesterday. The Sabres go ahead and deal what is a conditional 2019 first. It's really just essentially, depending on where the St. Louis Blues pick lands is what pick Anaheim will end up getting.
Yeah.
Based on
the order. It's going to be based on the order.
They trade Brandon Gouley, a guy who was passed over by Lawrence Pilot in the organization.
Yep.
And you come in with Brandon Montour.
Guy who we've been saying the Sabres should trade for.
Many people were saying the Sabres should be interested in.
For the past couple of years. Yep.
And here it is.
And it finally happened.
If you look at the analytics, you're going to see a nightmare. But I've got a simple explanation for that. Randy Carlyle kind of blew up everyone's numbers and analytics.
Montour's analytics are actually not bad. Even for how bad the team has been.
It's just one of those things, though. Like, if you look at that stuff, but it's not going to be as pretty.
It would get better. If he's on a better team.
It'll get better when he's not with Randy Carlyle.
That too.
Who managed to submarine his second team now.
Yeah.
First he did it to Toronto, where they're giving up shots and shots and shots and possession numbers all over the place. Now he does it in Anaheim, where they lose 20 of 24 before they finally decide maybe it's a good idea to fire him now. It took that kind of collapse to make it happen. So Brandon Montour comes over, and a lot of things were happening. There were the whispers of Rasmus Ristolainen possibly going to Tampa Bay. And then they acquire Montour, and everyone's like, okay, what if Ristolainen gets unloaded? Now you get a top four that could look like Dahlin, Montour, Ristolainen, and
McCabe,
Bogosian, whatever name you feel like for the night.
Now your three right-handed guys are Montour, Risto, Bogosian. As of right now, your three left-handed guys with Scandella injured, Dahlin, McCabe, Hunwick. Nelson's your extra right now.
Yes, as Beaulieu, the lefty, was shipped off.
The Sabres haven't made it official, but it happens.
Shipped off for a sixth-round pick from Winnipeg.
Yeah.
I like the trade. The Montour trade,
I love it.
It's easy to like.
I love it because I love Brandon Montour as a player. I think he is so good for whatever the analytics say for this year. He was just on a really bad team. It's better than what the standings say. They just have a coach who is holding them back. That's why I completely forgot about Brandon Montour, because I didn't think Anaheim would trade him. Never did. Because I always thought Anaheim they just need a coach that's going to let them play their game and they will be fine. They don't have to blow things up.
I thought at the beginning of the season Anaheim wasn't going to be a train wreck.
Yeah, and we didn't expect them to be this bad. But the reason they're this bad isn't because the players are that bad. Randy Carlyle is that bad of a coach. So my thought process with Anaheim this whole time was, okay, when are they going to fire Carlyle? Now it's whoever replaces Carlyle is going to stabilize things there and they'll be fine. And they could contend again next year.
Exactly.
But now they unload Montour, which is a huge surprise. And thank God it's to Buffalo.
It's to Buffalo. That is...
Brendan Gulley makes a lot of sense. He's not a Botro pick. Even though we really like him as a prospect, he's not one of Botro's picks. He was a Tim Murray pick.
Mm-hmm.
So that, right away, it makes a ton of sense to trade Gulley. He has been passed on the depth chart. You mentioned it, Lawrence Pilot. I would also put Will Borgen in that mix as well. Borgen's been really good in Rochester. And you have... Now, my biggest thing about trading prospects right now this year for the Sabres was, okay, who replaces Gulley? Well, Lawrence Pilot's in Rochester now.
Yep.
He got sent down. So, realistically, your top four in Rochester consists of... Or top six right now consists of Pilot, Zach Redman, Hickey, and Borgen.
Yeah.
And whoever two you want to throw in there as well. So the Sabres...
And then
away makes Gulley expendable, along with the fact that they have three other really good defensive prospects that have yet to be signed.
Exactly.
That have been drafted within the last 2 years by the team in Oskari Laaksonen, Jacob Bryson, and Matias Samuelsson. And I wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibility that Laaksonen and Bryson could get signed this year.
Laaksonen signed a 2-year
extension?
Extension in Finland, yes. So
when did that?
Yeah, that was this year.
It was this year, okay.
So he will
Bryson,
have
so
to win.
Bryson seems more possible because I think this is his third year in college. And right now, there's a lot of talk that he might be the best defenseman in college right now.
Yep.
So, might be hard to pass up. And especially because next year is the deadline to sign him. So, it's either you do it now or you risk losing him next year.
Yep.
So, right away, I think that does make Gulley expendable.
Yeah, I feel like it was a fine trade. Gouley kind of looked a little lost.
He struggled this year, too, yeah.
Mightily, like, not just in Buffalo, like, yeah. in and Rochester.
I think, too, if it wasn't this year for him to make the NHL and be a regular, when will it happen? Or will it ever happen?
I wouldn't say it's a will it ever happen. I mean,
I don't think you could afford to wait another year.
Exactly. And with other players passing
and
him,
plus
you can do it.
The team needed another right shot guy versus a left shot guy.
Yep.
So now you unload a left shot guy and you get a righty.
Yep.
And that makes a ton of sense.
That's how it'll roll.
Yep. Cuz think about this now. Next year, if they don't trade Ristolainen in the summer, next year's top four looks like Dahlin, Montour, Ristolainen, and Pilot.
Could be a little wacky.
Yeah. So right away, I had to say, right away, that's a huge win for the Sabres.
Yes.
And I think this, down the line, this is one of those trades that easily can be a win for both Buffalo and Anaheim.
Yes, easily.
Gouley is still an NHL, can still be an NHL defenseman in the league.
That's why I think
As of right now, he likely is their third pairing guy on the left side behind Fowler and Lindholm.
Yes.
But that's fine for him if that's the case. Those are two really good defensemen you'd be playing behind and you can learn from. Anaheim gets another first-round pick.
Yeah,
that's a win for both teams.
It really is a pretty solid deal, and I think that Buffalo did a pretty good job here with this deadline. I expected them really to only be just a seller, and you know, make the Beaulieu move, and maybe ship something else off in a deal as well.
It's funny.
What happens is we get for the first time. In a while.
Quite a while.
Several years. We get a deadline acquisition with the semblance of a buyer mentality.
Mm-hmm.
The Evander Kane trade deadline acquisition was different. They were tanking. They traded for a player on injured reserve who was not going to play for the rest of the year.
That also wasn't even a deadline acquisition.
It was.
Was it?
Yeah. It was a deadline acquisition.
I thought it was earlier.
It was like a little bit before it, but it was a deadline period acquisition.
Okay. I thought it was like a couple weeks beforehand.
It was still, you're trading for a player who's not coming back this year.
Right.
And you are tanking. And right. You are the worst team in the NHL.
The last...
And you traded roster players...
Deadline...
For a guy who was not going to play.
The last deadline acquisition I can think of in a buy... Thinking as a buyer was Brad Boys.
What you want? What you want? I'm not.
What's the lats?
I'm not singing Brad Boys. Brad Boys, what you gonna do? That's totally not happening.
What you gonna do when he scratch for you?
Ouch.
That's the last one I can think of, though.
Exactly.
Cause
that's the last pure buying move we've seen.
Yeah, because in the 2012 deadline, it was they traded Gostad for a first, which I still can't believe happened. But then they did Cassian for Hodgson, and then Grignani.
That's a hockey trade.
That's just hockey trades.
Yeah,
and that's not a buyer's move.
What?
No.
Well, before that, Dominic Moore,
Raffy Torres. Yeah.
Why'd you have to remind me they did that?
Brad Boys was the last one. Yeah,
and that was a flop.
Early on, right away, it was actually pretty good. He was scoring goals.
Yes, but it ended up a flop.
Yeah.
But Montour, you basically... I feel like you with a trade of Montour and Gouley, here's an interesting way I feel like I'm looking at this. You basically hit fast forward on Brendan Gouley with Brendan Montour.
That's what I think, too. I thought the same way. They're both very similar.
From a 21-year-old defenseman who has... played some NHL games.
Yeah.
To a player who is now 24.
Yes.
Has played several seasons.
Yes.
It's basically if Brendan Gouley stepped in a time machine, came back, and you were given a player that can break out of a zone.
Yes.
Making crisp passes out to
really good skater.
Transition. A really good skater.
Yep.
I mean, this really just sounds like they hit the fast forward button on Brendan Gooley in a vacuum.
Yes.
And he comes stepping out. That'll be one pick and a prospect, please. Okay, you got it.
Yep.
In Anaheim, goes ahead and gets to take Brendan Gooley, a guy who is 21. They traded away a decently young defenseman.
Yep.
But one of their senior members on their defensive corps at the same time. So maybe things aren't all that bad.
No, I guess I think this is a trade where down the road both teams win. Both teams will come out with a win on this one.
This is a very good deal, probably for both parties.
Yes.
A lot of people I remember were like, when it was Josh Manson and Brandon Montour coming through the ranks together.
Mm-hmm.
Montour, I did not know, was significantly younger than Manson.
Isn't Manson like 28?
He's 27.
27, there you go. Montour just turned 24.
And this is a lost year for Anaheim. They go ahead and get something.
It is.
And they hit the reset button there for a player on their defensive core.
Yeah. I mean, and overall, their defensive core is still going to be good. You still got Lindholm. Yeah.
They still have Hampus Lindholm.
Cam Fowler. You still have Josh Manson.
Man, could you imagine if they now just gave us Lindholm instead? That would have been interesting.
Now you get Brendan Gooley. And you still have another pretty good defensive prospect, too, in Jacob Larson there.
So Anaheim can finally start to rebuild things.
Things really aren't that bad in Anaheim. They're just having a really bad year. And they've done this before. In 2012, they were looked at as a really good team, and they were one of the worst. They ended up drafting fifth overall that year. And guess who they drafted in that draft class? Hampus Lindholm. That's how they got him, because they were really bad one year, randomly.
Dude, I'm looking at their cap situation.
It's not good.
No, it's not. There's an Adam Henry five-year extension kicking in next year.
Yeah, but that makes...
You have Rickard Rakell, 3.78.
What a great contract.
You have Kessler for 3 years at 6.8.
And you have Getzlaff and Perry for another 2.
Getzlaff and Perry at $8 million plus for another 2 years. You have Cam Fowler at 6.5. You have Hampus Lindholm at 5.2.
That's a great contract.
You have Josh Manson at $4 million. You have Josh Gibson at 6.4. That extension kicks in next year. They had to trade something.
They did. They had to.
And Brandon Montour comes to you at a $3.3 million cap hit.
Yep.
Next year.
Yep.
He's an RFA after that. The Sabres are very well versed.
That really helps the Sabres.
The Sabres are very well versed in that. I mean, Jake McCabe's an RFA next year.
And he's an RFA this year.
Oh, yes.
His contract's up
right this
year. Montour's after up this next season. Year, yeah. See, but the thing is with Anaheim, despite all that, they can still contend next year. They just need a coach. Because they still got young guys coming up. Now you add Gooley to their young guy mix, along with Jacob Larson, who's also 21. But you also add Troy Terry, Max Jones, Sam Steele, Maxime Comtois. Terry Jones and Steele are all 21, and I think Comtois is 19. He's 20. You have all four of those guys, along with Gooley and Larson. Their prospect pool is pretty darn good. Now it's a matter of getting those young guys there and having the right coach to put it all together. If they can do that, I think that's their goal this offseason. If they can do that, Anaheim can contend next year.
I'm looking at a very shocking picture.
What's the picture?
Of the Ottawa Senators. There is a team photo that has now been photoshopped.
Oh, God.
With each player that has been traded or retired in a jersey or a polo shirt. That's pretty cool, though, the polo shirt thing for players that are retired. There are 6 players left on that roster that are on the Ottawa Senators.
Oof.
Craig Anderson, Bobby Ryan, Jean-Gabriel Pageau, Mark Bowiecki, Zach Smith, and Cody Ceci.
And Ceci, they tried to move. Yeah.
There are 6 players left from the team that was 1 goal away from the Stanley Cup final.
How things have changed.
It's wacky.
Yep.
There were 4 retirements, by the way.
Yeah.
Chris Neal, Clark MacArthur. Looks like Chris Kelly and Alexander Burrows.
Yep. They all did retire. Some left in free agency.
Some were forcefully retired, like Clark.
Yeah. And then some were traded, like Erik Karlsson.
Kyle Turris. Who wasn't traded at this point?
Yeah, really.
Phaneuf was there.
Oh, he was traded. Oh, that's right.
Shows what can happen when you just give up on everything.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure if you did that with the Sabres tank season and go 2 years later.
Oof.
You could, or even the season they decide to do it, when they finally, like, they unload on
so
Miller.
So 13, 14?
Yeah. Like Miller and Vanek and everyone.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You can look at that one and go 2 years later. That's the second tank year.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's left? Tyler Ennis? Marcus Foligno?
Gergensons?
Right. Senators roster. It's such a scary. I'm going to retweet it here, and it'll be on my account on Derek Kramer WGR on Twitter. It's such a scary, scary picture of the Ottawa Senators. And kind of funny, the polo shirts.
That is pretty funny.
Polo shirts, what am I saying? The Hawaiian shirts. That's what
the Hawaiian. Okay.
They're not polo shirts. They're Hawaiian shirts.
Even still, that's pretty funny.
It's still pretty funny. It's pretty funny, the Hawaiian shirts and the festive look of Chris Neal in the first row.
Yeah.
So it's bizarre. It's bizarre. It's hilarious. It's weird. All of the above. All right, Frank. I think this will do it for today's deadline
pod. Pretty much just a recap thing.
Recapped
everything. Bottrell did speak today. He talked about Montour.
Pretty smart of him, actually, to not put him in the lineup tonight against Toronto.
Oh, that's super smart, yeah. Yeah,
because he mentions the time zone.
The time zone coming from... Because he was also coming from Vancouver. So... You know, with the 3-hour time zone, with the 3-hour difference, and then, it makes total sense.
They'll get him ready to go, get him introduced to the teammates today.
Yeah,
and then he'll play against Philly,
and then he'll play tomorrow night against Philly. Yep.
All right, so Toronto tonight, Philly tomorrow.
And Philly's, I think, a home game.
Well, I'm just saying, Toronto tonight, Philly tomorrow.
Yeah.
And the Sabres get things back on track here with new defensemen. Brandon Montour.
How would we grade the Sabres in the deadline?
I wish you could have got a little more for Beaulieu than a 6th, seeing as how there were some bad defensemen traded for more.
But what would you grade him?
I'd give him an A. If I'm counting the Montour.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Not just today, just in deadline. We'll go deadline season. We'll go deadline season as like the past week.
Deadline weekend.
Sure.
I give them an A on the weekend because I liked what they did for Brandon Montour. I really did. I'll give them an A.
I'll give them an A as well. Probably more closer to like an A minus, just because Bowl U getting only a 6. I think that just shows the market really wasn't there for him, and Batra was just trying to do him a favor just to get him onto a team.
I wouldn't even say it was that. I think it was just
if teams wanted Bowl U, they would have offered more than a 6.
At the same time,
I think Winnipeg just took it as, all right, we'll take Bowl U. We don't really need him, but sure.
The Sabres were also in a spot where teams could go ahead and say, I'm not giving you more than like a 5th for Nathan Bowl U. Why? We know you're at an overload of defensemen. So once Scandella comes healthy, you're going to have to waive someone. And someone comes free. So we'll just pounce on that then. So that's, you can be had, basically, is what I'm saying there. And the Sabres maybe knew that, and they were like, we're not going to really put a high importance on getting a return for Nathan Beaulieu. We just need to clear some room.
That's where I would come. That's where I would rebuttal with, all right, then we waive Matt Hunwick. What are you going to do about it?
Claim him. It's free defensive help.
Okay.
Like, that's exactly what I would say. That's my counter.
Okay, I'd be like, okay.
I'd be like, I'm going after him. It's free.
Okay, you take the worst player. You take the worst player then.
Okay, and I don't give you anything.
We'll keep the better defenseman. I don't.
That's probably how some brief conversations worked.
Yeah, probably.
So.
That's the thing. If Volu wasn't traded, I think Hunwick immediately becomes waived. And then if another team picks him up, another team picks him up.
Yeah.
The nice thing is, you wouldn't have to give up that third round pick then. Because the only way that you have to give up a third in that Pittsburgh trade is if Sherry scored 20 goals or 40 points, or Hunwick is traded before the 2019 draft.
Yep.
If he gets waived and claimed, you can't do anything then.
That'd be funny if the condition meant like another team could still trade him after claiming him on waivers. Wait, that's messed up.
Wait, what? Yeah.
He met the condition.
Damn it.
So, all right. This has been the Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank Curry.
And as it was said, Sabres playing twice before our next podcast. Unless sickness decides to wipe us both out again. Hang on, Frank.
You got something?
Yes, I do have something.
What's that?
It's not news. It's something that I've had to bring up every show leading up to this trade deadline.
We'll bring it up then.
I think Jarmo Kekalainen is going to get fired.
Okay.
He is going all in.
Yeah.
When there's Tampa. He is going all in when there is a team called the Tampa Bay Lightning who will curb stomp you into the living depths of hell. And you are, I hope he loses Duchesne. I hope he loses Dzingel. I hope he loses Panarin and Bobrovsky, all for nothing. Because he's being an over-aggressive fool with literally 2 freaking draft picks.
He's putting
two draft picks.
2 in the draft this year.
Do you just tell your scouts to bleep off for the weekend? What do you do? Do you even show up to the draft? Because you're not drafting.
You're drafting 2 guys.
You're drafting 2 guys. Phone it in. You don't even need to be there. You don't. Give their table to a Make-A-Wish Foundation. Let a bunch of kids be able to take in the draft experience. And that's it. Call it a day. Because Columbus is basically a bunch of ghosts on draft day.
And if they
don't win a playoff series for this, Frank, oh, they are toast. If they don't win more than 1 playoff series, Kekalainen better get canned.
Here's the thing. Okay, let me ask you this then. If Columbus, let's say Columbus goes to the East Final and plays Tampa and loses.
East Final, I think he gets away with it.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's a bust. The way he put this together, He has to make the conference final. He has
or
to
at least re-sign those guys.
He has to make it.
Here's the thing.
Even he No. Not even a re-signing thing. He has to make it.
And that's what he's trying. That's what they're trying to do this year.
He is putting all his eggs
in. Putting all his eggs into this year. And if it doesn't work,
he's getting fired.
Probably.
He's getting fired.
Probably.
Tampa exists.
And the reason he's doing it is because he's telling the fans, hey, we're going for it this year.
I've got a question for you.
This has never happened for them.
I've got a question for you. Mm. They shore up their defense? Did they shore up their goaltending? Yes. No.
Oh.
No. No. Has Bobrovsky looked below average?
I mean, like...
One of their major flaws is unchanged.
They added...
Oh, and you added a goaltender!
Without trading another one, yeah.
Without trading Bobrovsky!
They have three now.
You're an idiot!
I mean, you could have three.
I'm just staying consistent on my tone here.
I know you are.
You needed to trade him, and now you didn't. You even got a backup goalie, and you didn't get it done. Babba was willing to move his claws for you, and you didn't get it done. Instead, you go the opposite direction, and now have two picks. You know what could have got you two more picks, doubled your draft currency? Trading Sergei Bobrovsky. It became apparent once they got Duchene that they were not trading Panarin.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm willing to accept that. You had to get rid of one of them. And you could have went with Bobrovsky, who never shows up in the playoffs.
Just
never.
Shows what they want to do this year.
If they won and done it because Babbo,
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Good night.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Good night.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's very plausible. It's Bobrovsky. He doesn't show up in the playoffs. Dude had a Vezina season, then puts up a dud.
And you better make sure you make the right decision in gold by the time playoffs come around.
If they pull a Devils and start Keith Kincaid, maybe they're lost too. So,
this is Columbus telling their fans,
we're delusional.
We're going for it this year.
This is Columbus telling their fans, I need to win a playoff series or I'm fired.
Pretty much, probably.
It is what it. That's what it is. That's what they're
telling.
Likely,
that's what. Likely,
that's what I'm hearing.
But you know what?
That's what I'm hearing.
But you know what? For Columbus, good luck. Because you know
you're gonna need it.
They're gonna need it.
If you land in wild card two, oh my god! If they land in wild card two, and face Tampa in the first round, I will laugh my ass off.
The thing with Columbus too is they've never been in this kind of spot before.
Yes, they have.
Making all these kind of moves to go for it this year.
Okay, not all of these moves, but they've been buyers.
And how often have they traded, like...
All of their picks but two?
Like,
none. They've never done this.
Like, this is ginormous, but...
No, you know what this is?
They've even barely been buyers when they made the playoffs.
They would get players, though.
They wouldn't do anything big, though.
Well, they would go and get scoring. Thomas Vanek was a deadline acquisition for them. Like, they've been buyers. They have...
But
this,
they would go small moves, though.
This is desperation. They have two. They've traded all but two picks in 2019.
Yeah.
Two.
Yeah. It's a good way to put it.
The Sabres have two picks in the first round.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Subject to change.
That's a good way to put it. Desperation.
They are desperate.
Desperation just to try to win a playoff series.
And if they draw Tampa... In the first round, after all this desperation, I'm telling you right now, Frank, I am laughing my ass off. I'm going to buy a Tampa jersey, and I'm going to drive to Columbus and parade around in it. And my Tampa Bay jersey is going to say Panarin on the back. Why? It doesn't make sense.
Okay, if that happens, we're making sure that actually happens. If Columbus plays Tampa in round one, and assuming they lose, you're buying a Lightning jersey and getting Panarin stitched on it. and then we're going to road trip to Columbus.
Or maybe I should just get Kekalainen on the back of it.
No, Panarin would be funnier.
Panarin would be funnier, but it wouldn't make any sense because everyone would be like, they don't have the cap for that. And I'd have to explain the joke. If I put Kekalainen on the back of it, well, hockey fans will know.
Or do you get a Columbus jersey that says, RIP 2019?
Or I could just get a Columbus blank and put the nameplate on the back that says draft pick. And the number 0.
I mean, they have two.
But still. Either way.
Columbus jersey on the nameplate, playoff series, and then the number 0.
Now that I will invest in. It's really just, I hope this blows up spectacularly in their face.
Right now they are third in the Metro.
Because they are being desperate fools in a year where Tampa Bay exists.
They're third in the Metro right now.
By how many points? One? Two?
They're 1 point ahead of Carolina.
Oh, 1 point.
4 points behind Washington.
Oh, man. Look out.
But they have 2 games in hand on Washington, 1 game in hand on Carolina.
They got maybe 3 points on the Hurricanes. Look out.
And then also Pittsburgh's 1 point behind them as well.
Oh, man. They're up big on Carolina and Pittsburgh.
So it happens.
I'm being consistent. I've said what I think the Blue Jackets should do. They did the exact opposite.
They did.
And I'm going to either look like an a-hole... Or I'm going to go ahead and look really smart. I'm just glad Buffalo's not in this situation where they have literally only 2 draft picks.
Yeah.
2.
Yeah.
Buffalo can make those picks in day one of the draft and be like, hey, Columbus, we know you need some picks. By the time they pick in round 3... Buffalo will have more picks than Columbus. Like, it'll be sealed. Done. Forever.
Yeah. Buffalo would have already picked 3 times by time Columbus picked.
Exactly. It's so stupid. Desperation is a stinky cologne.
They've already would have had their 2 first and their 3rd round pick by the time Columbus is up.
And again, desperation is a stinky cologne. If you run into a buzzsaw... It is not your fault. No, it's not my fault for telling you so.
Yeah.
It is your fault for trading all but 2 of your draft picks. All right. I'm good now. Thanks for listening to the Leftovers Podcast. I'm Derek Kramer, who thinks that Columbus should have traded Bobrovsky or Panarin.
I'm Frank Arcuri,
who continues to amuse in me wanting Columbus to trade Bobrovsky or Panarin.
Yes.
Thank you for listening. And let's see what happens here. Should be fun. Or it could be very frustrating. There is no in-between with the Sabres. It's either fun or we hate everything. Starts with the Leafs.